Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you all for coming this morning. We are excited to have you. And as we continue our series, The Lies That We Believe. And so we've been addressing some of the lies that maybe you've believed over your life. Today we want to talk about lie number 6. I am worthless and have nothing to offer. I am worthless and have nothing to offer. Anybody ever felt that way before? Anybody who felt like, man, there is no purpose in me. There is nothing good about me. There is nothing that God can use. I'm worthless. Come on, I grew up, and I was a loner growing up, meaning I didn't have any friends. And so whenever it came lunchtime and it came recess time, I'm sitting by myself on the bench. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but whenever you see a group of people laughing, you automatically assume that they're laughing at you. You know, and whenever you see a group of people like pointing and talking, and you automatically assume that everybody's talking about you. And you just feel, you come to this point in your life where you feel alone. You know, I remember just even looking in the mirror and just feeling ugly. I was like, God, you know, I'm just so ugly. You know, anybody ever felt that way before? Anybody ever said, man, God, you know, why did you make me like this? You look in the mirror and say, God, why you didn't make me like so-and-so? God, why couldn't I have been born in this family with their money, with their resources? God, why you placed me in this family? God, why you made me like this? Come on, am I speaking to some real folks today? You know, and I would like to say that was a distant thing that I deal with, but even recently, I'm looking at myself in the mirror. I'm saying, God, why did you make me like this? And you know, we're building a house, you know, in Bayou Blue, and we went and picked some furniture up from another guy, and he's very wealthy. And I'm looking at his house, and I'm thinking, man, my house don't even compare to the house that he has. I just feel worthless. And so we have this sense of like, man, I'm not even worth anything. And so we let our circumstance, we let maybe our parents, we let these things begin to impact the way that we view ourselves, and it's such an unhealthy way to view ourselves, because you are made in the image and likeness of God, and that God has ascribed such worth in your life. And so today we want to address this lie. You know, and so whenever I began drafting, I began drawing on the computer, I finally felt some worth. I finally felt, wow, I'm pretty good at something. God has given me this talent to draw. Wow, I'm actually okay. And then I began to do well, you know, on the business. I began to prosper and felt really good about that. But then in 2015, the job's taken away. All right. So because here's the thing, the Lord doesn't want you to find value in your occupation. He doesn't want you to find value in the things that you can or cannot do, or the money that you have or do not have. He wants you to find value in the fact that you are his child, that you are a chosen generation, that he paid a high price for your life. So he wants you to find value in those things. But if you're placing value in the fact that, hey, I'm a good drafter, hey, I'm a good artist, hey, I'm a good such and such, then whenever that thing is taken away from you, you will be devastated. And so, which leads me to our story today. We're going to talk about a man of God. And whenever you think of this man, you would never think of a worthless man. You would think of a man of integrity, a man that's talked about 3,000 years later in churches all around the world. Never once would you think of this man as a worthless man. But this man begins to think about himself as a worthless man. And so today, we're going to look at it. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 31, if you want to open up your Bibles to there. And so we have these feelings of, and we look at other people, and we look at other people's lives, and we see success, and we say, you know what, my life is not successful as they are. I am not athletic as they are. I am not as gifted as they are. I don't have as much talent as they have. I wasn't born in the greatest family as they were born in. And because of these circumstances and because of these situations, we begin to say, I'm worthless. I'm insignificant. I have no purpose. You know, it's one thing to look at people's lives who are successful, who have attained, you know, either wealth or position or status. And you can easily learn from them. You can say, hey, you know what, I'm going to strive to work harder. I'm going to strive to be better. And it could be an inspiration to you. But however, if you only watch in their lives and you say, no, I want to be like such and such, then you're totally missing out on the opportunity, because God didn't make you like such and such. God made you very unique, very different from anyone else. And so as you're trying to ascribe to fulfill this position and being like such and such, you're missing the very calling that God has called you to be. God has made you unique. God has made you different from each and every person that is in this room for a specific plan and purpose according to God. Amen. And so that should excite you this morning. Yeah. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, spin around and do a little dance, because God has a unique plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. And so we talk about this man. This man is no other than David. And it may be surprising to you that we're talking about David and we're talking about worthlessness. David had many ups and downs in his life. David had many battles, many victories, but he also had many defeats in his life. And so just to kind of build the story where we're at in the story. So King Saul, he was the first king of Israel. Many of us know this. The prophet Samuel had anointed Saul to be king. Now, Saul sinned against God. And because of his sin, God told Saul that he will strip the kingdom from him, and that his descendants and that his sons and his posterity will not be king. And in fact, that he told Saul, I have found a man after my own heart. And that was David. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. And so this didn't sit well with Saul, obviously, because he had a son who was supposed to be the rightful heir to his throne. His name was Jonathan. Now, Jonathan and David are like partners, all right? They're like best friends. There was a brotherhood between Jonathan and David. They loved each other, you know, as not in a weird way, but in a godly way, and they were best friends. Jonathan says, hey, you know what, David, I am going to help you to become king. So this further infuriated Saul. And on top of this, to add on top of this, what we see is that David was a mighty warrior. And so he had already taken off the head of Goliath. He looked that giant in the eye, that big 9'6" dude, and he threw a stone and he hit him right in the head. This giant fell. Then David takes his own Goliath sword and cuts his head off. Pretty valiant warrior. And so that was just the beginning of all these victories that David would experience. And so every mission that King Saul would send David out to, he was successful. And he would gain the popularity of all these people. And so there's even a point when people begin to start singing the praises of David. We find this in 1 Samuel 18:7. It says, Saul has struck down his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so these ladies are singing this song. Hey, Saul, he was a great warrior and everything. He killed his thousands. But David, man, he's just awesome. He killed 10,000 people. And so you might be like, man, we're in church. We're not supposed to kill, right? But, you know, in that day and age, God was using the children of Israel. He was using the nation of Israel as an instrument of justice. And to say, hey, look, if you're going to sin, if you're going to worship these idols, then I'm going to take you out. And so they were instruments in the hand of God. And so David is described 10,000s. Now, you know, this didn't sit well with Saul, so he begins to be even more infuriated with David. So one day, David is playing some mood music for King Saul, because David was an awesome instrument. He would play the harp, and he would play the lyre, and all these different instruments. Why? To soothe the tormenting spirit that King Saul had. One day, while he's playing some mood music, King Saul takes a javelin and launches it at David. Now imagine, you know, I'm just playing the drums one day in a worship service, and one of you guys take a javelin and just throw it at me. I mean, that would be pretty painful. And so this is the case. And so from that moment, David finds himself on the run from King Saul. He's running for his life. Like, this guy Saul is out to kill him. This guy Saul says, hey, look, as long as I'm alive, as long as I have something to say about it, David, you will not become king. My son will become king instead. Totally defying what God had already set up. So David finds himself on the run from King Saul. So he in this time, in this season of his life, he runs to this place called Keilah. And he hears that the Philistines are attacking Keilah. And so he asks God, God, do you want me to help? Do you want me to intervene for these people of Keilah? And the Lord says, yes, you shall intervene. You shall help them, and you shall overcome. So David does. He overcomes the people of Keilah. I mean, the Philistines that were attacking Keilah. He overcomes them. And then Saul hears that David is in Keilah. All right, so then Saul begins to pursue after David in Keilah. David hears that Saul is after him in Keilah. And so David once again comes to the Lord. He says, Lord, will the people of Keilah turn me over to King Saul? And the Lord says, yes, they will. So the very people that David risked his life for, the very people really, he could have died, but yet they were willing to turn David over to King Saul. David's in a pretty bad place at this time in his life. And during this time in his life, this is where it's believed that Psalms 31 is written. And so we talked about how the Psalms gives us a little insight of what's going on during a season in a person's life. You know, we can read a story about David, and we can read that he's on the run. But then whenever we read the Psalms, we see exactly what David was experiencing. And we think of David as a mighty man of God, a warrior, a king, an awesome king. But this is not what David thinks about himself. Let's look at it. Verse 9, chapter 31, says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief. So this means that he's been crying a lot. Anybody knows what it means to cry a lot, to be in grief, to be overweighed with tears? This is David. He says, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. Now, the iniquity that he's possibly talking about right here, while he was on the run from King Saul, he goes to the high priest Ahimelech, and Ahimelech helps David. And so Saul hears that Ahimelech has helped David. And so Saul is infuriated, and he goes and he kills not only Ahimelech, but 85 priests that were with him. This is how evil Saul had become, where he's willing to kill the man of God, the priest, who would stand before man and God. It's the evilness of his heart. And so while he's in this place, he says, look, my bones waste away. Because of my adversaries, I have become a reproach. He feels like he is shamed everywhere he goes, especially to my neighbors, he says. And an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. So before, everyone was singing his praises. Man, look at David. Look at David. He's killed 10,000s. In this verse right here, no one is singing his praises. No one is saying, wow, you remember David? You remember what he did and how he stood up to Goliath? No one is remembering the great things that David did at this moment. Instead, he is a reproach to them. And he says, they no longer remember me. He's not remembered as the war hero that he once was. He's more or less referred to as a nuisance. And here's where I want to kind of bank this sermon on this next verse. He says, I have become like a broken vessel. I have become like a broken vessel. Now, if you look at the a different version of the Bible, the NET version, it says, I am regarded as worthless as a broken jar. A broken jar is, if you break a plate, you break a cup, you break a glass, you think it's worthless, right? There's nothing to it. It's just broken glass. It can no longer do that which it was created to do. David is in this place where the brokenness of his life is overwhelming. The brokenness of his life leads to this feeling of worthlessness. Now, it's different to be broken. And so, you know, we've all experienced brokenness in our lives. But what we have to caution against is allowing the brokenness that we have experienced in our lives to define us as worthless. Just because you're broken doesn't mean that you're worthless. Just because bad things happen to you in life doesn't mean that you're worthless. Just because your family struggled whenever you were growing up doesn't make you worthless. Just because that you don't have the nicest house that everybody else has doesn't make you worthless. Amen. Just because you were abused doesn't make you worthless. Just because you were mistreated doesn't make you worthless. I am regarded as worthless, like a broken jar. This is David we're talking about. This is David, the great psalm writer. Apparently his talents weren't enough to make him have some self-esteem. This is David, the warrior. Apparently his great victories from the past wasn't enough to say, hey, look, I'm worth something. He considers himself as worthless. Now, what would have happened if David would have continued in this state of mind? What if David would have just allowed these thoughts to say, I am worthless and I am good for nothing? He would have never become the king that we all read about some 3,000 years later. But at the beginning of this Psalms, it says, I cry out to the Lord, the source of my strength. I cry out to you, my soul is in distress, O Lord. If you don't help me, if you don't come to me, if you don't comfort me right now, I don't know how I'm going to get through because this distress is too overwhelming. David refused to stay in this place of feeling like he was worthless. And I believe the encouragement for us this morning is to not stay in that place of feeling like you are worthless. God has created you for a specific purpose. God finds value in you. God, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter if you're looking at all your imperfections in the mirror. But what God sees is whenever he sees his son, Jesus, whenever he died on the cross for our sins, we have become, whenever we accept him in our life, we become the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so whenever God sees you, he no longer sees the brokenness, but then he sees, no, I see my son Jesus. Amen. He is filled with sorrow. His strength has failed him. He's ashamed. He's disgraced. People are fleeing from him. He is a broken man who feels worthless. And the question I ask myself is, why? Why did David feel worthless? And it's found in the next verse. It really is. It says, for I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. They hear the whisperings of many. How many of you have heard the whisperings of many? What people have said about you, said, you're just like so-and-so, you're worthless, you're a screw-up. There is no plan for you. There is no expectation for you. There is nothing. He heard the whisperings of many. Now, perhaps, maybe you didn't even hear it from someone, but maybe you hear it from the enemy, who's just big enough to fit inside your little ear hole and began to say lies about you, who begins to say, this is what you are. Oh, how dare you? You messed up. You sinned. You are a sinner. You don't deserve to come to this church. You don't deserve to raise your hands. You don't deserve to worship the Lord. You're worthless. You messed up. You're too far gone. It's the lies of the enemy. It's the whisperings. It's the whisperings that David listened to. And he began to believe it about himself, that he was worthless. I ask you this morning, are there some whisperings that you have believed about yourself? What other people have said about you? What the enemy has lied to you about? Are you believing the whispers of many? David, as great of a man as he was, goes to show that, hey, look, we can be walking this life, having some great victories, and just walking with the Lord, but still find ourselves in a place as David, just feeling worthless. We have to caution, man. We have to be aware that the enemy is out to destroy your life. He hates the fact that you represent Christ. He hates the fact that whenever you and your wife come together, that is an image of the body of Christ, as an image of what Jesus did for his bride. He hates the fact that you're raising your children in a godly way. He hates you. And you have to realize this, that you are facing a real enemy who's out to destroy your life. Listening to the whisperings of others. David was royalty, for crying out loud. He was a man who would become king, who would become the greatest king that we in Israel, that we talk about him today. But he didn't see it in himself. Thankfully, David realized it was a lie. Everything that he had believed to this point, the whisperings of many, it was a lie. Look at what he says. He says in verse 14, but... That's always a changer right there. Whenever you see the word, but, yes, the whisperings of many have affected me. Yes, I may be feeling worthless. Yeah, I may have messed up, and I may have had a rough past, but God, amen, but God is enough. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Wow, what an encouraging prayer. What an awesome thing that David began to do at this moment in time. Says, I refuse to believe the lies of the enemy. I refuse to believe that I am worthless. I know that God has a plan for me. I know that his plan is great for me. If I just press on a little bit, if I cry out to the Lord, I will find him to be a help in the midst of trouble. Amen. It's very pivotal. It's very important for David to do so. You know, I know a guy who, he has so much talent, and he has so many abilities, but yet he sees himself as worthless. He has allowed the whisperings of many to affect him, to the point where he has no self-esteem. But if he would just realize how much God loves him, and that though he has some brokenness in his life, it doesn't make him worthless. Amen. We can experience brokenness in our lives. It doesn't mean that we are worthless. If he would just understand this, this man would do some incredible things for God. Now, I want to kind of give you guys a little illustration. But before I do that, you know, I mentioned that I struggle with my appearance and just looking in the mirror and just feeling ugly. And I look at what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, woe to him. In Psalms, in Isaiah 45:9, it says, woe to him who strives with him who formed him. A pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? So my question is, am I to question how God made me? Am I to question that, hey, look, God, you got it wrong? He is the potter, and I am the clay. And whatever way that he decided to make me is perfect enough for me. Amen? I don't have to be like everybody else. I don't have to compare myself to everyone else. Amen. I'm made in the image and likeness of God. Now this morning I like to, every now and then I like to bring a sledgehammer to church. I mean, it's just awesome. for one. I like tools, and I like big tools, and I like big heavy tools like a sledgehammer, and I like making noise. But here's the thing. Let me put some safety protection on, because this is about to get real. Our lives kind of start off like this. Got it from, by the way, this came from Hope Treasures. This is a little commercial. If you want to go to Hope Treasures, you can find a plate like this, 27 cents. Go to Hope Treasures, buy from Hope Treasures. But anyway, this plate is perfect. Seems to be perfect. It's round. Maybe a little couple of specks, but it's perfect. And what begins to happen in our lives, let me back up because I don't want glass flying everywhere. What begins to happen in our lives is that we experience some brokenness. People tell us, we hear the whisperings of others, you're worthless. We experience hardship in our lives and it breaks us. It just crushes us. We experience brokenness. I don't know what your brokenness is. I don't know what, you know, what you have experienced in your life that has broke you. Maybe a abusive father. Maybe just the lies of the enemy. Maybe just poverty in general. And you're broken. Feel worthless, like these broken pieces. You say, God, I'm just too broken. I don't feel like you can use me for anything. I'm just a bunch of broken pieces. But I want to show you something this morning. You may look at your brokenness as useless. You may look at your brokenness as, you know what, I'm worthless. But here's the thing. God's grace. Look, we take the brokenness of our lives, those pieces that make us who we are, and begin to pour them to the God's grace for our lives. And we let him do his thing and we say, okay, God, I'm giving you my brokenness. I'm giving you my worthlessness. God, I say, if you can do anything, God, you can do something with me. And then what we're not realizing is that he's taking all those broken pieces and making something that is so much more valuable. Amen. He's taking all the broken pieces of your life. And he's constructing them together. You know, whenever I put this together, I used every single piece. Every single piece of brokenness to make a vessel. To make a vessel that says, hey, look, this is now, you know, it might not have the same purpose as it did before as a plate. But the way God sees it is that I have a purpose for this. I have a purpose for your life. This is an awesome display piece to put it on your table, whatnot, with some fruit. Or you can imagine what you can do with these things. It's to display the glory of God and what he has done in your life. That God is taking the brokenness of your life and he is putting it on display, saying, look what I can do with your brokenness. Look what I can do with your brokenness if you put it into God's grace. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord God, that you love us with an unconditional love. And I thank you, Lord, for this message, Lord God. Lord, that we are not worthless, that you have sent your Son to die on the cross for us. God, you place a tremendous amount of value on our lives whenever you sent Jesus to die on our place. God, we thank you for that this morning. I thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for each and every person in this place today. And God, right now, I just rebuke the lies of the enemy that would say that they are worthless. I rebuke the whisperings of many that says, I am worthless, I am no good. God, I take all my brokenness, Lord God, and I throw it into your grace. And I ask, Lord, that you would do something with my life in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will begin to mend the brokenness today. And Lord, that you will use us as a display of your glory for what you can do in our lives in the name of Jesus. And so if you're in this place today and this message has really impacted you, we're going to ask that you come to the front. I know this is different than what we normally do, but I'm believing that as you come to the front, you're going to experience some freedom from the lies of the enemy that you have believed. And so as you come to the front, would you lift your hands and just begin to denounce those lies? Say, I denounce that lie right now in the name of Jesus. I denounce that lie that I am worthless. I am created in the image and likeness of God. I have a plan. I have a purpose. God has a plan, a purpose for my life. Come on, as you do that, you're going to begin to experience freedom. You need to be set free this morning. You need to stop believing the lies of the enemy and believe what God has spoken about you. I have a plans and purposes and that are greater than you can even imagine for your life. So, Lord, right now, I pray for your people. I pray, Lord God, just for delivering them of lies that they have believed. I declare freedom in their lives in the name of Jesus. They are not worthless. They are made in the image and likeness of God. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. No longer, Lord, no longer from this day forward will we allow the enemy to lie to us and rob us of our future and rob us of the destiny, God, that you have for us. But, Lord, we will trust in you. We will trust what you say about us, oh God, and we will not believe the whisperings of many. God, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And let the church of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Just give them praise. Give them praise. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord.
And before you leave, would you just turn to your neighbor and tell them two things of value about themselves? And so I know a lot of time the world will lie to us. So just find someone like right next to you and just like tell them like amazing things like you look good or God's got a plan for you or speak that. Speak that into existence, into your family. We love you guys. Let's live that truth out in Jesus' name. We'll see you today at 4 o'clock right here at Hope Community Church. Come to the streets with us in Jesus' name. Turn to somebody. Tell them something good. Find somebody else and tell them something good.